no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me once again. We'll hear first this week from the Cavalcade of America and their story from December 25th, 1944, America for Christmas. After that, it's Radio City Playhouse and Problem Child, their story from November 13th, 1949.
Presenting Walter Houston in America for Christmas on the Cavalcade of America, sponsored by the DuPont Company, maker of better things for better living through chemistry.
Good evening, this is Walter Houston. Tonight on a small island in the lonely distances of the Pacific, an island you never knew before existed and will find with difficulty on the map, a troop of soldiers, handful of Navy men, a few Marines, one or two flyers, and a medical staff are celebrating Christmas. I said celebrating, but perhaps there is a better word for it. Perhaps I should have said reminiscing about their former Christmas celebrations, which took place in the dim and distant past, in different settings and under different circumstances. It is with such servicemen and women as these in mind that tonight we bring you this special Christmas play. And so, with the best wishes of the season, the DuPont Company presents America for Christmas by Peter Lyon, in which I have the pleasure of appearing in the part of a master of ceremonies for an overseas USO camp show entertainment unit. And we're happy to have as our soloist an authority on American folk music, the composer of Ballad for Americans, Earl Robinson.
We are now on our small island in the Pacific. Its name will remain undisclosed for reasons of military security, but you can be sure that every inch of its ground is by now familiar to every man stationed there. By now, they've eaten their Christmas dinner and opened their Christmas packages. But there's one remaining package addressed to all the men still to be opened, a package of good cheer and glad tidings to the men in their home away from home.
Ye who know will bless the poor, shall yourselves find blessing.
The group has just finished a Christmas carol, and the MC, an old vaudeville trooper, steps forward to open the show.
Very good, very good. I'd like to sign you all up to join our troupe. Which one of you guys was singing tenor?
Me.
Well, we'll sign everybody but you. Well, what about it, fellas? Has it been a good Christmas?
Why, sure.
It's been okay.
You don't sound very sure.
Ah, who are you guys kidding? Not even yourselves. Two Christmases ago, I was in Oregon standing 2 feet deep in snow. Look at these palm trees. Is this Christmas?
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what all of us in this troop figured. Me and Marilyn here and June and the quartet there and Sandy over there with the guitar. We had a dope lot, right? Right, Marilyn?
Right.
Right. Well, we thought everybody's been giving everybody else some Christmas presents, right?
Right.
All except we haven't given you any. No show tonight. That is, no regular show. And we've got a special one, right?
Right.
Right. We have caused to be constructed a show, something brand new, bright and different, songs and stories from our travels all over the country we love. And it's our present to you. It's the best we can do. It's all we can do. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Places, everybody. The stage, that's over there. No curtain. But you can imagine it now rising. Orchestra finishing the overture. Lights dimming. Here it is. America for Christmas.
Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Your power is turning our darkness to dawn. So roll on, Columbia, roll on.
Who's that? What are they singing about?
They're singing about America, young lady, and Colombia is her symbol. She's a big country and a great country, a hot and cold country, an empty one and crowded. She's an all-over country. And whatever you want, you'll find her in America. That's why they're singing about her.
They? Who are they?
They're the people, young lady, the people who live in America and sing songs about her and tell stories about her and lie about her and brag about her and love her. The farmers on her plains and the men who built her cities and made her strong. Roll on, Columbia.
Roll on, Columbia.
They're all over America right now, singing and talking and telling tall tales. If you want to meet them, you'll have to travel the whole country, fast.
Let's go.
All right, and discover America all over again.
Where do we start?
Well, let's see. Might as well start where the Pilgrim started, I guess. On the shores of New England.
Old Stormy was a fine old man.
Do me way, old Storm along.
Old Stormy was a fine old man.
Way, hey, hey, Mr. Storm along.
I wish I was old Stormy's son.
Do me way, old Storm along.
I'd build me a ship of 1,000 ton.
Way, hey, hey, Mr. Storm along.
I'd fill her up with New England rum.
Fill me way, old Storm along.
And all my shellbacks,
they would each have some. Way, hey, hey, Mr. Storm along.
Old Stormy's dead. And
that's New England. The song of the men who go down to the sea in ships, down to the sea from craggy inlets and deep sea ports. There's rocks all over New England.
All over?
All over. Even the fields and meadows of the New England farms makes it tough to make a living. There was a farmer in New England who invited his minister to pay his farm a visit. The two of them, the farmer and the minister, walked over the stony fields, the minister saying...
Why was it you wanted me to come out on your farm?
Reverend, I want you to pray to God with me that I'd get better crops.
What this land needs is not prayer, but fertilizer.
That's New England, a rocky country. Men get to be shrewd traders in that country. They have to.
What's a shrewd trader?
A shrewd trader is, do you want to watch a couple of shrewd traders in operation? A Yankee peddler with a wagon load of Yankee notions pulled up in front of a Yankee general store. The storekeeper going down into the road and asking...
What's the price of your razor strops?
$1 each for these strops.
$1 piece? They'll be sold for half the month before the year's out.
One of these strops is sold for 50 cents within a year. I'll make you a present of one, mister.
You will you?
Now.
Ben. Oh, you Ben?
Yep.
You're the witness to the contract.
Yeah, I'm the witness.
All right, peddler. I'll purchase a strop on those conditions. Here's your dollar.
Contract's a contract. I'll stick to it.
Ben, I don't much like this strop now that I bought it. How much you give me for it?
Hey.
Well, guess seeing it's you, I'll give you 50 cents for it.
Hey, now, see here.
Here you are, Ben. 50 cents, it's yours.
All right, you win. Here's your strop for free.
Want to watch out for yourself when you're in Bethel, Mr. Peddler. Some pretty sharp fellows around here.
Tolerable, but nothing to brag about. I made 75 cents on that deal.
How's that?
I got $1 for 2 strops, which cost me only 12 and a half cents apiece. I heard of the cute tricks of you Bethel fellas. I generally sell these strops for only 25 cents apiece. But, gentlemen, if you want any more at 50 cents apiece, I'll be happy to supply your whole village. Yes, sir. Anything else you want to buy now?
Nope. Been shaved enough by you tin peddlers. Want no more of you.
It's very hard to condemn a whole class because of one or two dishonest ones. Give me a fair trial. I'm traveling all through this countryside. I can get rid of your unsaleable goods.
Nope.
Here. Tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a fair chance. I'll sell you anything I have in my wagon at my lowest wholesale price, and we'll take in exchange anything you please to pay me from your store at the retail price.
Mm-hmm.
Fair, ain't it?
I'll look over your goods. Got a lot of whetstones there. About how much?
Wholesale price of whetstones is $3 a dozen.
I'll take 12 dozen of them.
All right. That's $36 you owe me, for which I'm to take such goods as you please at retail price. Now, what are you going to pay me in?
In whetstones? Retail price, 50 cents. You get just 6 dozen.
There's a couple of shrewd traders.
Let's move on. Let's get away from the rocky country.
You think that's a bad country? Why, meet the fella from Maryland.
The dogs in Maryland are so poor that they have to lean against the fence to bark. It takes 3 or 4 pigs all at once to pull up a blade of grass. And if they want to cast a shadow, it takes 6 pigs to do that.
Should we go further west? If the country in the east is also bad...
West of that country, you run into West Virginia. Now, there's some country. Hill country. You want to hear a West Virginian on the subject?
All hills and valleys in West Virginia. Valleys real narrow. So narrow the dogs have to wag their tails up and down. Can't wag them back and forth. Why, there's one valley in West Virginia so narrow that the moonshine has to be wheeled out on a wheelbarrow every morning and the daylight wheeled in.
Well, come along, little girl. Got a lot of traveling to do.
I heard that railroad whistle blow, blow, blow. Yes, I thought I heard that railroad whistle blow. And I thought I heard that lonesome whistle blow, woo, woo. And it blowed like it never blowed before.
Taking this train, jump on.
Where does it go, west?
West, west, and it goes right by Pittsburgh. Have to look fast if you want to see it.
Where is it? I want to see Pittsburgh.
There's the Pittsburgh fella.
I've been working that Pittsburgh steel, I thought you knowed. I've been dumping that red-hot slag way down the road. I've been a-blasting, I've been firing, I've been pouring that red-hot iron. I've been having some hard traveling, Lord. If you want to get iron, you go in the hole. You want to get zinc, you go in the hole. You want to get lead, you go in the hole. You want to get coal, you go in the hole. You want to get oil right out of the ground. You dig a little hole about 10 miles down, and that's what you get by going in the hole.
Still going west, same road that Dan'l Boone and David Crockett took. Only we can go a little faster, riding on the Wabash Cannonball.
She glides along the woodland, the lakes, and by the shore. Hear that mighty Russian engine. Hear that lonesome hobo's call.
Riding through the country on the Wabash Cannonball.
That's right. Just like our grandfathers did elbow room, that's what they wanted. They didn't want a neighbor any nearer than 10 miles. Besides, it's greener on the other side.
The other side of what?
The Mississippi River, the granddaddy of them all.
MISSISSIPPI.
That's right. The rivermen, the boatmen floating down on rafts, talking easy on the night air, talking big, talking quiet, making up stories just to hear the sound of their tongues wagging. Like these two men, talking about their river, the big old Mississippi. Listen to them.
Yep, this nice old muddy Mississippi River water is wholesomer to drink than the clear water of the Ohio. Let a pint of this yaller Mississippi water settle, you'll have about a half to 3/4 of an inch of mud in the bottom. What you want to do is keep it stirred up.
Yep, that's right. Now, there's nutrition in this good old mud. Hey, you look at the graveyards, that tells the tale. Why, trees won't grow worse shucks in the Cincinnati graveyard. But now in the St. Louis graveyard, why, the trees grew up at 800 feet high. And it's all on account of the water the people drunk before they laid up. A Cincinnati corpse don't richen the soil any.
That wasn't all they talked about either. They talked about, mosquitoes, for instance. The mosquitoes in the Mississippi River Valley. I heard a man talking about those mosquitoes once.
Well, sir, I'll tell you. Now, the state of Arkansas has been injured and kept back by generations of exaggerations concerning the mosquitoes there. Why, sir, these mosquitoes have been persistently represented as being formidable and lawless. But the truth is, they are feeble, insignificant in size, diffident to a fault, sensitive. Now, if you really want to hear about some formidable mosquitoes, sir, why, then, there are the Lake Providence colossi.
Lake Providence? There are large mosquitoes there?
2 of them can whip a dog. 4 of them can hold a man down.
I must say that that's...
Why, sir, this may strain your credulity, but I even seen those mosquitoes at Lake Providence trying to vote.
What?
Well, I have seen them canvassing around the polls.
Excuse me, gentlemen. I overheard what you were saying about mosquitoes, and I was about to add simply that the biggest mosquitoes I've ever seen was a little further to the west, in Oklahoma. Years ago, gentlemen, I saw four mosquitoes kill a buffalo. Kill a buffalo, yes, sir. And pick his bones clean and leave him to bleach in the sun. Good day, sir.
What do you know?
What's the matter? His story seem a little sizable?
I can't stand a liar, sir. I just can't stand a liar.
You're listening to America for Christmas, starring Walter Houston as the Master of Ceremonies in a traveling USO camp shows unit on the Cavalcade of America, sponsored by the DuPont Company, maker of better things for better living through chemistry. In our play tonight, Walter Houston portrays an old vaudevillian who is leading his USO troop through the Southwest Pacific. And on this Christmas night, they are entertaining a company of servicemen and women on a tiny Pacific island, entertaining them by giving them the best Christmas present they know, a memory of America as they remember her through our American folklore. They've covered the eastern half of the country in their special Christmas show. They're in the Valley of the Mississippi right now, and I think... Yes, they're in the station, buying their tickets to the next stop.
Oh, that Rock Island line is a mighty good road. Yes, that Rock Island line is a road to ride. And if you want to ride, you got to ride it like you find it. Get your ticket at the station on the Rock Island line.
And so now we're across the Mississippi. This must be Arkansas.
Please, Madeline.
What's the matter?
The name of this state is not Arkansas, my poor benighted child.
It isn't? That's what it looks like when you see it. Arkansas.
No. Now, maybe you don't realize how strongly folks in this state feel on the subject. Years ago, there was a debate right in the state legislature when someone proposed that the state go on record to change its name from Arkansas to Arkansas. Another fella, well, he got up and made a big speech.
Mr. Speaker, you blue-bellied rascal. I have for the last 30 minutes been trying to get your attention. And each time I've caught your eye, you have wormed, twisted, and squirmed like a dog with a flea in his hide. Gentlemen, you may tear down the honored pictures from the halls of the United States Senate. Pull down the stars and stripes. Curse the goddess of liberty. But your crime would in no wise compare in enormity with what you propose to do when you would change the name of Arkansas. Compare the lily of the valley to the gorgeous sunrise, the discordant croak of the bullfrog to the melodious tunes of the nightingale, the bray of a Mexican mule to the classic strains of Mozart. But never change the name of Arkansas. No, 1,000 times no.
They didn't change the name of Arkansas, did they?
No, they left it alone.
And is Arkansas related to Kansas?
No relation at all, little girl. Not even first cousins. For they miss touching each other at their border by 40 miles. In fact, down in Arkansas, people sing a song about the people up north in Kansas.
Oh, they charter back a thin in Kansas. Oh, they charter back a thin in Kansas. Oh, they charter back a thin and it rolls right down their chin. And they lap it up again in Kansas. Oh, potatoes, they grow small in Kansas. Potatoes, they grow small in Kansas. Oh, potatoes, they grow small, and they dig them in the fall, and they eat them tops and all in Kansas. Come all who want to roam.
I don't think I want to stay in Kansas, if that's what it's like.
Well, it's not exactly like that, but the potatoes really aren't quite as big as they are in, say, Idaho.
They grow big potatoes in Idaho?
Big potatoes in Idaho? Well, I should think pretty sizable. A couple of years ago, when they built an army camp in Idaho, one of the mess sergeants went around to see about buying some potatoes. Spoke to one of the Idaho farmers who had a little farm.
Raise potatoes on your land?
Mm-hmm.
Will you sell me some? I need some for the army camp, other side of Lewiston.
Well, how much do you want?
Oh, 100 pounds.
Only 100 pounds?
Yeah.
Nope. I wouldn't cut a spud in two for no one.
Still going west. Are we out of Arkansas yet?
Ah, yes. This is Texas. We'll be here quite a spot.
I should think so. It's so big.
Yeah, and the people here, well, they think quite a bit about their climate here, too. Weather, you know, comes different pretty often.
Well, seeing there's so much of Texas, I should think the weather would be all different kinds.
Yes, but the point is, in Texas, the weather is all kinds all at the same time. As the fella says, nobody prophesies about Texas weather except newcomers and dumb fools. Came the time when a fresh young tenderfoot walked into a Texas saloon, walked up to the bar and ordered a drink. Men in the place, they said nothing, just watched him. You know, a young fella finished his drink, then he hauls off and says...
Well, I believe it's going to rain.
My friend, did you know that there were only two kinds of people who prophesy about Texas weather?
Two kinds of people who prophesy on Texas weather? Well, that's very queer. Who are they?
Newcomers and dumb fools.
You say there are only two kinds of people who prophesy about Texas weather. Newcomers and dumb fools. Well, you're absolutely right. For after all, those are the only two kinds of people there are in Texas.
Cow country through here, and to the north, and to the west. Further on west, you come to the desert, where it's dry. Yuma, where it's been known to get pretty warm sometimes when it's summer. And the migratory workers sing in the evening.
I work in your orchard of peaches and prunes, and I sleep on the ground neath the light of your moon. On the edge of your city, you see us now and then. We come with the dust and we go with the wind. California, Arizona, I make all your crops. Then it's up north to Oregon to gather in your hops. Dig beets from your ground, cut the grapes from your vine to get on your table your light sparkling wine.
Jump on, here we go again, north this time.
Another train ride?
I'm riding on this new river train. I'm riding on this new river train. Same old train that brought me here, and it's soon gonna carry me away.
Got something special for you to see up north here.
What's that, something big?
Biggest thing man has ever done.
Well, this world has seven wonders that the travelers always tell. Some gardens and some flowers, I guess you know them well. But now the biggest wonder in Uncle Sam's fair land, it's the King Columbia River and the Big Grand Coulee Dam. Up in the state of Washington,
she winds down her granite canyon, she bends across the lee, like a silver running stallion down her seaway to the sea.
Well, she ripped our boat to splinters, but she gave us dreams to dream of the day this coulee dam would cross that wild and wasted stream.
Now as we join in battle to make all people free,
that old coulee dam is fighting along with you and me.
Yonder flies a flying fortress to fight for Uncle Sam,
spawned upon the Columbia River by the Big Grand Coulee Dam.
California. Are we going to California now?
Climate, that's all there is in California. The Californian says...
We got the healthiest. It's a healthy. When we started a graveyard, we had to shoot a man.
Hearing which... If you raise your eyebrows in polite disbelief, the Californian says further...
We don't have to prove it. We admit it.
Well, that's about it. Time to be getting back home now.
What? Oh, but we haven't seen nearly everything.
For every part of the country, a song or a story. Not time in half an hour to do them all justice. So, boys, I guess it's the end of the show.
It was enough, mister.
And if you're still wondering, I'll tell you... It's been an okay Christmas.
That's been the best Christmas I ever had. For the last 20 minutes, I've been standing in 2 feet of snow back in Oregon.
Okay. And we'll have one last song. Everybody sing. For every part of the country, a song or a story. But all the parts, all the states add up to one mighty whole. One America. Roll on, Columbia. Roll on.
Oh, roll on, Columbia, roll on.
Walter Houston and the members of tonight's Cavalcade cast, our thanks.
On this Christmas night, we are thinking the same thoughts you are of men far from home, in deep snow and in tropical heat, fighting the battle of freedom. What is in your hearts, our hearts, and their hearts has been said powerfully and beautifully by a soldier, a GI. Let me read it to you. At the moment, it is difficult to think of victory as meaning anything but an end of fear, to loneliness and death, and a chance to go back to pick up the strands of interrupted life. Henceforth, each simple pleasure, each right we always took so lightly, will take on rich meaning. We know what it costs to keep them, and we know, too, that we have really earned a share in them. But victory means much more. With victory, we stand on the threshold of limitless inventions and comforts. We possess the resources to extend our horizons in every field of endeavor and every aspect of human relations. However, ancient and stubborn enemies are still to be conquered. Enemies which must be overcome, not by armies, but by minds and hearts and talents set wholly free. Such enemies are poverty, insecurity, prejudice, disunity. These too shall be conquered, for we have begun to think more deeply and more dynamically. And if we can sweep aside untold obstacles to smash the most ruthlessly efficient machines of destruction ever devised, surely we possess the vision and practical genius to organize for peace, security, and a world designed for living. Till now, many have ruled because of accident of birth and power or wealth. But throughout the world, the unfit, the weaklings, and the traitors are falling by the wayside. New leaders are rising from the people, those who never sold their heritage of courage, faith, and simple human dignity. With victory, we shall have destroyed those who would have enslaved the world. Our sacrifices have been great, but we have won the opportunity to emerge from the animal kingdom and enter the kingdom of man. I look forward to living in such a world. I look forward to living in such a world. If a soldier risking his life at the front can say that, then certainly all of us can look forward. To all of you, the DuPont Company wishes a Merry Christmas. To the 34,000 DuPont men and women in the armed forces, we call Merry Christmas across the oceans. We send more than a greeting. We send our solemn pledge, we of DuPont, that we will not slow our efforts for 1 minute, that we will work and produce without let-up until the last gun is fired and the white flag over Berlin and Tokyo at last gives us a chance to rest and say, now it's really over. That is the pledge and promise of the men and women who work for DuPont. This is Walter Houston. Good night and God bless us all.
Next week, the Cavalcade of America will bring you Anne Harding in Westward the Women, the story of Abigail Scott Duniway. Abigail Duniway, a farmer's wife, lived in the Oregon Territory in 1850. She managed a household. She raised 4 children. She was an average woman of that place and time with one difference, and this difference was an idea born in Mrs. Dunaway's kitchen, an idea which today affects the life of every American woman who fought for it. Listen next week to Westward the Women, starring Anne Harding on The Cavalcade of America. Tonight's Cavalcade play was based on A.L. Botkin's book, A Treasury of American Folklore, published by Crown Publishers. For use of special songs, Cavalcade is indebted to Woody Guthrie, and for their arrangement and direction to Earl Robinson. Heard in the program was the Sportsman's Quartet. The orchestra was conducted by Robert Armbrister. This is Gayne Whitman sending you season's greetings on behalf of Cavalcade sponsor, E.I. DuPont de Nemours Company of Wilmington, Delaware.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Something between the two little boys that Frida didn't understand. Toby, her Toby, was gentle, with a ready smile and an engaging honesty. Gerald was different. Gerald, of course, was the son of the house. Toby was only the housekeeper's little boy. Was that the difference, or was there something inevitably evil about Gerald? They were playing on the dining room floor, paying no attention to Frida as she vacuumed the rug in the hall. They never played together for very long without something happening.
Gerald, please don't. I asked you before not to... Ouch! Gerald!
Shut up. Do what you're told.
Gerald, don't!
Cry. That's right, cry. Always crying.
Gerald, please hold me alone.
Sissy, take that.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Gerald, you've been picking on Toby all morning. Can't you leave him alone? Do you have to keep bullying him all the time?
Oh, don't cry, Toby. Don't cry.
As old as I am and bigger. You don't bully people bigger than you.
Don't cry, darling.
He hit me.
Here, take Mother's handkerchief and wipe your face.
He's ignorant. That's what? Ignorant.
I am not ignorant. Oh, Gerald, get out of the dining room.
And just why should I get out of the dining room?
Because I'm telling you to.
As if that were a reason. Next thing you'll threaten to tell my mother.
Yes, I will. All right, Toby?
Yes. Well, go on. Tell her. She's ignorant, too. You're all ignorant here. It's a house full of ignorant people. And everyone who comes here is ignorant. Except Uncle Martin.
Oh, Gerald, for 9 years of age. There. That better, Toby?
Sorry for crying, Mother. Go on, Frida. Tell Mother. Here she comes now.
Frida, I think Mrs. Sands will come for dinner tonight, and I... Frida, what is it? Toby, you've been crying. What's happened?
What always happens. Ask him, Mrs. Evans. Ask your son.
Yes. Ask me, Mother.
Gerald.
I said Frida's our servant, and since Toby's her son, he must be my servant.
Gerald, you know you've no right to say such a thing.
If it's true, I have the right. And isn't it true?
It certainly is not. Apologize at once to Frida and Toby.
Ha ha, that's a laugh. Excuse me, there are some things I have to do.
Gerald, come back here.
Sorry, Mother, I'm busy.
Frida, I don't know what to say. Toby did. Gerald was just teasing.
Teasing? Mrs. Evans, enough is enough. I'm sorry. Really, I'm terribly sorry, but I'm giving you my notice.
Frida.
Yes, I am. I'm finished. I'm sorry, but I'm finished.
Frida, that's absurd.
You'll have to get yourself another housekeeper. I'll take Toby and we'll leave tomorrow.
You don't know what you're saying.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Evans, I know. For Toby's sake, we've got to go away from here. It isn't your fault. You've been very good to us.
Frida, I just won't listen to this sort of talk. You've been here how long now? 8 years, nine?
10.
Since long before Mr. Evans died. This is your home, Frida. Toby's home. Toby, you like it here, don't you?
I don't like Gerald.
Frida, please don't uproot Toby. I'll speak to Gerald. Honestly, I will. But you can't just leave us. Toby's happy in his school. He's doing wonderfully well. It wouldn't be fair to take him away to a new environment. It simply wouldn't be fair.
Toby, will you go out into the yard, please?
Yes, Mother.
You say it wouldn't be fair, Mrs. Evans.
Of course it wouldn't be fair. Toby's schooling is very important.
You see him and Gerald. You see how your boy makes him suffer. You see how he hurts him, makes him cry, treats him like dirt. Is that fair? Toby is a good boy. My boy is a good boy.
Of course he is.
Your boy is not good.
Frieda, please.
No, he isn't, and you know he isn't. He's got bad things in him, your Gerald. I feel sorry for him.
Frieda, you just don't understand. He isn't like other children. We must make allowances for him.
He hurts, and he likes to hurt. There's hate in him. I've seen it. Real hate, and not like a child who gets over hate in a minute.
Frieda, he's only 9. He'll outgrow it.
I was here when he was born. He never cries. He never cried once, not even as a baby. Crying is children's business. That's not for him.
But I just can't imagine you and Toby.
Neither. Oh, yes, Toby you want here, Mrs. Evans. Not me so much. A cook is a cook, but Toby, he's the only child in this house.
Frieda.
It's true. The real child is Toby. The child you would have liked to have had.
Frieda, please.
Get mad if you like. Toby is the child in this house. You've been good to him, I admit that. You give him things no other woman would give a cook's child. I am glad you love him. I love him, too. But the love you give my Toby is the love Gerald won't take.
Frieda, if that's the way you... Frieda, you... can't leave. You can't.
Look, we are both widows, Mrs. Evans. Women without men. But you were luckier. You were left with money. You've given things to Toby I could never afford. I appreciate it and I thank you. But now I must look at the bad as well as the good.
Frieda, please don't do anything for a few days. Think it over. I'll speak to Gerald. I'll maybe do more than that. Maybe I may
be you'll want.
Please, Frieda, think it over. And now I'd like to talk about dinner. Mr. Sands will be here around 6. I'd like to have something especially nice because I think he will...
What's the matter, Solemn Face? All through the apple pie, you looked as tortured as Joan of Arc.
I'm sorry, Martin. Why don't you have a drink?
I don't want a drink. I want you.
It's Gerald.
Oh, well, that's nothing new.
He's persecuting Toby.
Well, kids always persecute somebody. When I was his age, nobody on the street could even stand me.
And he hates me.
Oh, nonsense.
He does.
Beth, you know the score. Gerald has a mentality years ahead of himself. His IQ blows the top off the gauges. You can't expect a young genius to behave like ordinary kids.
I wish he were less of a genius.
Then he wouldn't be Gerald.
He has nothing but contempt for all of us, particularly for me.
Oh, that's absurd.
It isn't absurd. If Will were alive, Gerald would idolize. Will, the scientist, the college professor, Gerald would like that. Yes, they'd have made ideal companions.
Yeah, sit around and haggle over the quantum theory.
I'm worried. Very worried.
Say, that kid's really roughed you up, hasn't he?
Yes.
Beth, dear, if you'd only...
Normally I'm not hypersensitive, but he seems to have a talent, a positive talent for proving himself superior to me in every way, and I've absolutely no control over it. I can't cope with him, and he knows it. Martin, I'm not stupid. Maybe I'm biased a little because he's my own flesh and blood,
Beth.
But I... Yes?
Beth, how many times have I asked you to marry me? No, don't even answer that. Let me put it like this.
No,
Martin,
yes,
yes, because this concerns your problem with Gerald. You know, the kid likes me. For some strange reason, he's really very fond of me.
Yes, I know.
Now, with a guy around, a guy like me, for instance, he might even develop into something, well... something a little less abnormal. I'm sure it would be good for him.
That's a very generous
way. I'm not trying to be generous. Can't you say you love me?
I'm confused, Martin. It's barely a year since Will died.
And you know how he felt about maudlin sentiment. He approached life the way you'd expect a scientist would. I'm sure, Beth, if the situation were reversed and he were me, he'd be darned impatient with your reasoning.
Martin, darling, you're a very wonderful person. I need you very much.
Oh, Beth, Beth.
Uncle Martin, I was wondering if you'd be able to... Oh.
Well, it's all right, Joe. Come on in. Say, I'm sorry about yesterday.
That's all right.
I might have telephoned you that I couldn't come, but, well, you see, that house I'm designing for the Fullers is giving me a headache. He wants modern, she wants French provincial.
Yes, you told me about that 2 days ago.
Oh. Oh, yeah, so I did. Well, anyway, I still should have phoned you, Gerald.
Were you kissing Mother?
Yes, Gerald, I was.
Why?
Gerald, you'd better go and get ready for bed.
Don't interrupt me, Mother. Uncle Martin, I asked you a question.
Well, I was kissing her because I love her and I've asked her to marry me.
Marry?
Yes, and that means...
I know what it means.
Well, it means you can drop the uncle stuff, Gerald.
You're so grim, darling. You're fond of Martin, aren't you?
You'll use the same moves. You and she. Just like she did with my father.
Well, I presume so.
Gerald, please don't be...
You can't. You can't do it.
Wait a minute. Now, look, young fellow, what are you...
Uncle Martin, you mustn't. It's just a trick of hers to take you away from me.
Gerald, please.
Darling, don't be like that.
It's a trick to steal you from me. For that sort of reason. Uncle Martin, listen. I'll tell you something. Something you never knew. I'll even say it before her. She killed my father. She killed him.
Gerald, what are you saying?
I swear she did it. I swear. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't.
Well, you horrid little...
Wait, Beth. Let him finish.
She killed my father because he loved me more than her. We were friends like you and me. We talked about things she couldn't understand. She was jealous and she killed him.
Now, Gerald, look, I...
Don't marry her, Uncle Martin. Same thing could happen to you. Don't marry her. She's ignorant. Take me away. Just the two of us.
Go to your room.
You can't marry her. You can't. I won't let you marry her. I won't. I won't.
I said go to your room.
He's just trying to steal you and take you away from me. Just the way he did with my father.
Oh, Beth, darling, don't take it like that. Please, honey, don't. I love you so much. Can't you understand that? Please, darling. We'll straighten Gerald out somehow.
Mrs. Evans, I've been thinking over what we said a couple of weeks ago, and I've made up my mind that there's only one thing for Toby and I to do. I'm terribly sorry, Mrs. Evans, but we're going to leave here.
Frida, don't.
Why?
Because I've been up to see Gerald's schoolteacher. They've asked me to take him out of school.
Expelled?
No. Well, amounts to the same thing, I guess. I'm sending him away.
Oh?
I'm sending him to a private school where they think they can help him.
He'll be leaving next Monday. That's just a week, Frida. He'll be away from here all winter, away at school. Maybe when he comes back at Christmas, he'll be better. Will you try it, Frida? Please, Frida. For me. All right. All right, I will. But if things don't change, Well, when he is away, I guess it will be better.
I think it will. Terrible to have to say it, but I think it will.
Mrs. Evans.
Yes?
Why don't you... Well, I remember my father once whipped my brother when he was bad, until he couldn't whip him anymore.
Do you really think that would do Gerald any good?
Well, no. I guess perhaps it wouldn't do him any good at all.
I'm going away to my new school tomorrow, Toby.
Yes. I know.
And I'm having a party today.
I know.
Did I invite you? I can't remember.
Yes.
And, of course, you accepted. Will you miss me? when I'm away, Toby?
No.
Neither will I miss you, so it's all right.
Let's get on with our marbles.
I don't care for marbles, really. Why don't you play with my mother?
Cheryl, you're so smart. Can you tell me why?
Probably can. What is it?
Why aren't you nice? Like your mother?
I never had a mother.
Everybody has a mother.
You only have a mother if you want a mother. I never, ever had a mother.
Aren't you your mother's son?
I only had a father.
You know what I heard the other day?
I'm sure it was very interesting.
Your mother loves me very much. My mother wanted us to leave here. But your mother wouldn't let her take me away. Go on. Your mother said she loved me very much. And it would hurt her if I was gone.
You're such a fool, Toby. She doesn't really love you. She said something like that. It was just to get me jealous.
She isn't crying, is she? You're going away and she isn't crying, is she? She cried and my mother said we might go.
You're a liar, Toby. Elizabeth loves me more than anything in the world.
Elizabeth? What a thing to call your mother by her naked name.
She loves me more than anyone or anything. She'd give everything if I would love her. Just a bit. But I won't.
Shh. What's the matter? Here she comes.
Well, is this where you two are? I've been looking all over for you.
Well, now you found
us. I didn't know you were dressed for the party.
Well, we are. So now you know.
And Elizabeth, would you like to play marbles with us?
All right, darling. Everything's ready for the party anyway. What do I do? Sit on the floor?
Yes, you have to.
All right. There.
If you'll pardon me, I have some things to do before my guests arrive.
Now, 6 marbles for you, and 6 for me. See, they're soldiers. It's an army, Aunt Elizabeth.
An army?
I'll let Gerald go if he wants to. This square on the rug is the fortress, and this white marble's the captured queen. Now, with your armies, you gotta shoot away my soldiers guarding the queen, if you want to save her.
Which, of course, I do.
With your thumb, Aunt Elizabeth. Your thumb.
Why did Gerald go out, Toby?
Eh? I mean, pardon?
Why did he go out? What were you talking about before I came into the room?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No.
See. I thought he looked sort of funny. I thought he...
Miss Evans, Gerald said you wanted to see me. Is there something I can do?
Why... No, Frieda. Oh, when you go out to the kitchen, don't examine the whipped cream on the cake too closely. And don't say anything to Gerald.
Didn't you tell him you wanted to see me?
No, but don't scold him. It's his last day. Just pretend I did send for you.
You don't have to pretend, Frieda. I lied to you, and I admit it. I just wanted to take some punch, and I didn't think you'd let me.
Anything else, Mrs. Evans?
No, thank you, Frieda. Gerald, it was very nice of you to bring Toby some punch.
It's a custom. When men want bygones to be bygones and part friends, they lift the glass to each other. If you look into Venetian history, you'll find it's a common custom. Shaking hands is stupid anyhow.
I see.
I'm sure you do. Here, Toby.
May I, Aunt Elizabeth?
Oh, take it.
Yes, dear, take it. Oh, good gracious, somebody's early. Now, don't you boys be too long. Come into the living room as soon as you're through.
All right.
Thanks for the punch, Joe.
Am I such a bad friend, Toby?
No.
Well, drink your punch.
I don't like it.
You've got to drink it anyway. It's a toast.
What's that?
Words fitting the occasion. We'll drink to our mothers. And to both of yours. If I have none.
I just don't understand you, Joe.
Who drink it? I can't keep my guests waiting. That's it. Together.
Martin, aren't children's parties fun?
Yep, for the kids.
Look at Gerald.
Yeah, seems to be in rare form. Gay, lying, gracious.
At least he's a good host.
But there seems to be something. I don't know what it is.
Do you notice it, too?
Notice what?
What you said.
Well, I was just putting my thoughts into words without thinking.
So,
strained, is that it?
Yeah, forced.
Well, Martin, it's probably just the excitement. Trouble is, we judge him according to our own adult standards.
Heaven help anyone who judges him any other way.
Martin, make yourself useful. Start the games or something. That little fellow over there.
Sure.
Mrs. Evans! Hold it! Mrs. Evans!
Martin!
Come on, Beth.
Rita, please.
He did it. He poisoned him. Gerald poisoned him. You're Gerald. You're monster.
Rita, dear, please stop crying, please.
Oh, we should have gone before this happened. It's my fault, staying in the same house with that maniac of a child.
Rita, you've got to control yourself. The doctor said that he...
The doctor doesn't know yet. He can't tell. Oh, yes. Yes, Mrs. Evans, I'll control myself. I want to be controlled when the police get here.
Police?
I phoned the police. I'm telling you, Mrs. Evans, if I lose my boy, you'll lose yours.
Gerald, why did you put the disinfectant in Toby's punch?
I didn't.
You're lying.
What makes you think I did? Why am I blamed for everything? Has it occurred to you that Rita's been jealous over the way Toby and my mother have been getting along? Rita has good reason
to... Oh, for Pete's sake, shut up!
But I was only trying to show you.
You gave Toby the glass. Understand, you even called it a Venetian custom. I suppose you were thinking of the Borgia's poison cup.
Uncle Martin, must we be so melodramatic?
Gerald, I'm determined not to lose my temper with you, but you make it very difficult for me. I'm trying to show you. You're traveling up a blind, hopeless, unhappy road. Now, one day, clever as you think you are, Gerald, you're going to have to face yourself and see what you're doing with your life. Oh, Beth. Beth, how is he?
Doctor says he's going to be all right. Crisis is past.
Oh, thank God for that.
Get out of here, Gerald. Go upstairs, go anywhere, but get out of here.
All right. I didn't want to stay anyway.
You want a drink, dear?
No, I just want to sit here and shut my eyes. Toby's all right. He won't die, but he'll be very sick for a long time. Burned his stomach.
Oh, Beth, honey, please.
It's all right, Martin. I'm not going to be hysterical. I'm feeling very calm.
And Frieda?
What you might expect.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Evans, but we have the doctor's report. I'm trying to be as gentle as I can, but I'm afraid the boy's case will have to go to a juvenile court.
No.
The lieutenant's only doing what he has to do, darling.
My son knows nothing about this. Mrs. Raddick was mistaken, justifiably so, because she doesn't know either. The punch with the disinfectant in it was intended for her. I should know because I put it in.
Mrs. Evans, you've told me that 5 times. Believe me, there's no point in lousing up the case.
Beth, this is plain crazy. Why do you persist in this fantastic
story?
Shut
up, can't you? The poison was intended for Frieda. We quarreled. She threatened me. That's all.
Okay.
Oh, Martin, for heaven's sake, understand.
Sure, we all understand. All right, Mrs. Evans. Let's go downtown where we can have your statement, phony as it is. Mr. Sands, I'll leave the boy with you. I may want him. And there's not going to be any nonsense about it if I do.
But I don't see why she had to say she did it. I just don't understand.
She happens to love you more than anything in the world. That's why.
But she didn't do it. I did it. I poisoned Toby. I just don't see why Elizabeth had to say she did it.
I hardly expected you would, Gerald.
I don't know why things are like this. I'm always apart from everyone. Everyone hates me. Why does everyone hate me, Martin?
Why am I like this? She didn't do it. I did it. I don't know why I did it, except that I'm bad. What's the matter with me, Uncle Martin? What's the matter with me? Why does everybody hate me?
Oh, no, look, Gerald, look. Your mother doesn't hate you. She loves you. And I love you, Gerald, and you're not bad. You're not bad at all. You're just a little bit sick, that's all. Now, your mother and I, we want to help you. But you've got to want that help.
They'll put her in jail. They'll put her in a cell. I can't let the Martin, I can't. Oh, Martin, what'll I do?
That's up to you to decide.
If I went down to the police station and told the truth, said I did it, would that help?
Yes, Joe. I think it would.
Then take me to her, Uncle Martin. Oh, take me to Elizabeth.
To whom?
Take me to my mother. I want my mother.
Fred Collins speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Cavalcade of America, Radio City Playhouse, past episodes of this show, and all the others at RelicRadio.com. There's also a link there to our Shoutcast stream. If you'd like to support this and all the shows, our donate button, click on that to help keep the shows going. Thanks, as always, to those who have. And thank you very much for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.